As educators and politicians search for ways to improve public education, they're looking more and more to Catholic schools. In Cleveland, a new voucher system allows parents to use public money to pay tuition at parochial schools. In Chicago, the head of the public school system has begun meeting regularly with Catholic school officials to get their advice. And the mayor of New York City wants to shift 1,000 poorly performing public school students to Catholic schools, where he says they'll do better. Barbara Mantell visited one Catholic school in New York to find out what the experience there is like for both students and teachers.
Bishop Laughlin High School in Brooklyn was built nearly 70 years ago, when the school was all male, mostly white, all Catholic, and free, with top students competing for a place. The architecture reflected the times: wide corridors, high ceilings, and stone floors that magnify every noise. Back then, noise was not a consideration. Only teachers walked the corridors between periods. Students stayed put in assigned classrooms. That and much more has since changed. Now the more than 900 students walk the halls between class, and there are boys and girls. Just half of them are Catholic, and most are African American, the rest Hispanic. The school is no longer free, the diocese can't afford that anymore. So half the families pay the full $4,000 tuition, the rest get some kind of financial assistance. After 5 minutes, the hallways quiet down, with most students in class, and just a few stragglers.
Andrew, why are you out of class?
Nah, I have to get my book.
Andrew, I thought we discussed this week. I thought we were going to get organized.
I just got the one book.
Okay, go.
Nancy McKeever is one of three assistant principals at the school. McKeever says decades ago, this teenager would never have made it to Bishop Laughlin. But now, admissions are fairly open.
We take all children. I mean, I have children here who public schools have asked to leave. That young man that I just bumped into. And he'll say to me, I'm trying so hard. I know he is, but he's got so far to go, and I have to hold on to him until he can get to that point. But, I mean, you know, he was in an alternative public school, and they were throwing him out of an alternative public school.
Bishop Laughlin is not much different in this respect from many urban Catholic schools. According to a federal study, students at New York State's Catholic schools are just as likely as students in the public system to be considered at risk, coming from low-income, single-parent households with parents and siblings who never got a diploma. Yet more than 70% of the state's graduates from Catholic schools go on to four-year colleges. At public schools, the figure is less than 50%, and dropout rates are lower at Catholic schools. Assistant Principal McKeever has pulled several students who come from public schools into an empty classroom to talk about the differences between their old schools and Bishop Laughlin.
I expect a lot more of you. And like the first day of school, I had to carry all my books home, and them books are heavy. It's like every book is heavy, no matter how little it is.
I got a lot of homework. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of homework.
I only get like two a day.
Two assignments a day?
Mm-hmm.
My teachers don't care how much homework you got to do. You got to do their homework also.
Unlike many public schools, Bishop Laughlin does not divide its students into remedial, general, and academic tracks. There is one academic curriculum for everybody. A student may have to attend summer school or repeat a grade or come in after school for tutoring, but all are expected to prepare for college. Paul Hill, a professor at the University of Washington, says that's typical of Catholic schools. Hill is the author of a RAND Corporation study comparing inner-city Catholic and public schools.
In our report, we talked about the centripetal, the kind of the center-seeking tendencies of a Catholic school. It intends to pull all the kids toward some vision of what they need to know. Whereas a public school with a variety of different programs and expectations that what a kid can accomplish is determined by what he knows when he gets there, means that once a kid starts to fall behind, the school sort of says, we're not responsible for that. We'll just give him another curriculum.
Back in the classroom, the teenagers seem amazed that the assistant principals know everyone's name. And one girl says she feels a lot safer here.
The public school I came from is bad. It'd be violence.
Not all of them, because the one I used to go to is not like that. The teachers here, I'm not going to say that they don't care about you in public school, because teachers do care about you. But it's like in Catholic school, it's more different. There's less students. And you could keep, you know, you could be more attached with your students, and they'll pay more attention to you. It ain't the same here. It's not.
The students talk about all the after-school activities, like sports, band, choir, the African and Latin dance troupes, and how teachers and students often stay at school until 6 at night.
All right, put in the shadow from underneath the sneaker. It should be the same thing. But look at the shadow. Don't make it up.
And by Cynthia way, Saracola has taught art at Bishop Laughlin for 10 years. She knows she makes a few thousand dollars less than her public school counterparts, but she says she likes the environment here.
Well, we all have common interests and common goals, the faculty and the students and the parents and the administration. And I think because we have the Christian / Catholic background, we might be more apt to be more of service. I mean, I'm a professional and I want to be compensated, but I also like the idealistic attitude which is here, which is we actually put into practice, which is that you are of service to your students. It's a ministry, which sounds kind of corny, but it's actually true.
Bob Barrow, a music teacher, agrees and says the Catholic nature of the school makes a difference in the classroom.
Because it gives a certain direction to the kids, gives an ethical direction. There's a sense that certain things that perhaps are right and certain things are not. And I think the way that translates is in the school is respect. Respect for one another. And
how do you get that across to the kids?
Well, there are religion classes that all students are required to take.
Let's bow our heads then for a moment, please. Let's remember we are God's holy presence.
Helen Wolf teaches freshman religion, a required class. She begins each session with prayer, but at least during this class, that is the last reference to God for the rest of the period. On this day, Wolf's assistant, an upper-class student, reads aloud anonymous letters that the students wrote the night before as part of a homework assignment, kind of Dear Abby letters.
I have a problem. I have a lot of friends, but there is something wrong with my voice. It's very small, and everyone teases me, and I really do not think it's funny anymore. Signed, sad.
If something's wrong with your voice, you think of it as being unique. At least you have a different voice from somebody else.
The girl who wrote the letter decides to speak up.
But you get tired of people saying stuff about it. You walk around and they keep teasing you and saying stuff and making fun of you. And you have to hear it, like, even if they don't say it to your face, they say it behind your back.
I would just pay them no mind, and then if they keep on bothering me, I'd just start cracking jokes.
Jason, if you ignore a person, then obviously they're going to stop because they're going to feel stupid that you're ignoring them. You're not paying attention to what they're saying, so ignore them.
Good point.
Then they're going to feel stupid.
The discussion continues, and a few students suggest insulting the tormentors, but most favor ignoring them.
It all depends on who you are and how much strength you got inside yourself, but it helps if your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your family to help them build up your esteem. You know, try not to let it get you down.
Later, Wolf explains the purpose of the exercise.
We believe that as Christians, we should be living a Christian life, not just on Sunday in church. So trying to carry that through with them each day of their lives. So we begin with prayer, so we can focus that Christ is with us, present at every moment of our lives. And then we start talking about how we would address problems that face us. But if somebody came up to them, a best friend, and told them a deep, dark secret, how would you react to it? Would you be angry at the person? Would you try to be loving and kind?
Wolf is a lay teacher, like most teachers at Bishop Laughlin. Few of the LaSallian brothers, the order that founded and runs the school, remain, but most teachers are Catholic. The principal, Brother James, explains what he looks for when hiring.
I think that the teacher has to certainly understand and or model Catholicism. I believe that there have to be good values, a desire to reach young people, a willingness to share your life with the young. I don't want a teacher who's running out of school at 2:15 because the school day is over. It's not a job. It's a ministry.
Brother James adds that, of course, a teacher has to be academically prepared and able to control a classroom of teenagers. Brother James says no one interferes with his hiring decisions or any other decisions he makes, not even the Bishop of Brooklyn to whom he reports.
I believe I have practically all the autonomy in the world to hire, to fire, to purchase, to develop curriculum. As far as red tape is concerned, I think that there's just about none.
It's hard to imagine a public school principal in New York City, with its large Board of Education, making such a statement. Brother James wishes some things were different. He wants to renovate the science labs, which date back to the 1930s, and he's unhappy that it has taken so long to introduce computers into the school. He also says the school cannot accept every child, although less than a handful are rejected each year. Those with severe learning disabilities or severe emotional problems are turned away. And so are children who are adamant in the interview that they do not want to attend Catholic school despite their parents' wishes. Parents' wishes, that is another significant difference between inner-city Catholic and zoned public schools. Parents choose Catholic schools and often sacrifice to pay for them. This fact, for some, means that it's not fair to compare Catholic and public school children. Inner-city Catholic school students may have the advantage of having parents more committed to education. Paul Hill, the author of the RAND Corporation report, says it's a real phenomenon.
They push them more, they care more, they support them more. They probably admire the school. They may demand homework.
But Hill says this is not really relevant to a discussion of the merits of inner-city Catholic schools. That's because most kids, Hill says, do better at Catholic school. Even scholarship kids whose parents are not making heroic efforts to save for tuition and who are invited into a Catholic school through a lottery or social program.
When we did our study, we asked about family responses to having the kid in Catholic school. And one thing that happened was the Catholic schools reached out to the parents and made demands of them, said, well, the kid has an opportunity now, and you have to make the best of it, and that means the kid has to have an opportunity to do homework. You have to understand the kid will have homework every night. If the kid says that they don't have homework, you better suspect that that's not true, and it's your obligation to make sure they can and will do it.
Hill says Catholic schools try to change the family as well as the child. The core curriculum, the teaching of values, the sense of community, and the freedom from bureaucracy found at many Catholic schools can, Hill says, be duplicated at public schools if a community desires. And they have been at many magnet schools. These characteristics, after all, are the same as those that many public school reformers embrace. The challenge for administrators in cities looking at the Catholic model is to see whether these principles can be put in place across an entire urban school system. In New York, I'm Barbara Mantell reporting.